when my second child was born. She had severe food allergies, and I had to resign from a job that I had as an executive director to become her primary provider, you know, caretaker. Mm-hmm. And that's how I ended up doing a lot of remote stuff, becoming a consultant.
Hello, and welcome back to Shift Happens. My name is Claudia Mahler. I'm your host, and I invite you to listen to my conversation with global strategist, serial entrepreneur, former banker and Wall Street wizard, and founder and president of the New York African Chamber of Commerce, Buzi Matsiku Andan. Buzi and I, we talk about grief and how tons of work can be a coping mechanism. We talk about building an economic and cultural bridge between New York and Africa. We talk about resilience and life's sudden changes. Buzi had to become a stay-at-home and then work-from-home mom when one of her daughters suffered from severe allergies. And that was at a time before Zoom, Google Meets, or WhatsApp. Enjoy this brief and energetic conversation with an exceptional and impactful leader.
We finally made it. Hooray!
I know, we have.
I really am honored that you are able to take time to speak to me on my podcast, Shift Happens. Before we get into it and talk about pivotal moments in your life, I wanted to ask you a few warm-up questions. Mm-hmm. What is your current state of mind?
You know, I'm relieved.
Yes, I can see.
That's how I feel right now. I'm relieved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Perfect happiness is a choice and a state of mind. That's my belief. And you can choose to do things or be around things that make you happy. And as long as we have life, mm-hmm. we're able to pursue that happiness.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Which living person do you most admire?
I haven't really thought about that.
Okay, maybe it comes to mind later.
Maybe, I could say multiple people inspire me. That's what I could say. Mm-hmm. Multiple people inspire me, including my children.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always a good source to learn from and to get inspired by. I agree. So, you are half Ugandan, half South African, and you are an award-winning global strategist. And from all I've read about you and heard about you, you are not only a master in personal and professional change, but you are really living it and you are embracing change and you take people along your journey to embrace it. And you are a pioneer, the first Black woman on the board of your alma mater, right? Berklee College.
First African born.
So that speaks in itself, you know, for so much power and for so much drive, but also for the willingness to take over responsibility. So, of course, I'm really interested what you think drove you into this, and you shared two life-changing moments on your podcast intake form. So it would be great if you can share that with our listeners.
Claudia, first of all, thank you for having me on your podcast. You're a force to reckon with. You inspire me.
Thank you.
And thank you for just thinking that I should be on this platform with you. And so as I said, a lot of people inspire me in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to give, it's only one person, because there are different things you learn from different people. And I remember Davos meeting you, and I'm like, wow, you're so regal. You're so, you have presence, but you're
Thank you.
poised about it. And so for me, my journey has been interesting. I mean, lived in New York 24, about 24 years, the longest I've lived in any part of the world, as I keep saying. But my different things have influenced me, the different places where I've lived as well. I remember my late father saying, "You're just as Ugandan as you are South African." And that's why people get surprised when I say I identify as both, because it has been ingrained in me. And I am, because of all of my experiences. I also grew up in Central Africa as well, in Zambia. And my father's sudden death in 2004 was very pivotal in my life. In many ways, I was such a daddy's girl, and then he was also a mentor of mine, and he was very driven. I get he was very driven and very resilient, and so the thing about my dad was, and he cared about other people, but he was very firm and very disciplined. And so one of the things that my dad did was he encouraged, so when he passed on suddenly, I was deeply affected, and I became very, I turned to work. I became a workaholic, and that's how I founded my business at the time, fashioning, while I was working on Wall Street. It was my coping mechanism. And I didn't realize the impact of it, but
So you worked on Wall Street, and in parallel, you started this business,
yes.
Fashion Indie.
And it was just because I just needed I needed an outlet, but at the same time, I'm a creative, so I was thinking of in musically independent, classically independent, artistically independent. But I remembered him saying, "You can't be a jack of all trades and master of none." So I had to focus on one, and then I worked backwards, and then I ended up, So Fashion Indie became one of the first fashion technology companies. So that was that. Then another pivotal moment was when my second child was born. She had severe food allergies, and I had to resign from a job that I had as an executive director to become her primary provider, caretaker. And that's how I ended up doing a lot of remote stuff, becoming a consultant.
That must have been so challenging on so many levels. I mean,
Yeah, this was in 2012. You can imagine 2012. This was before remote work was a thing. And since then, I've just been, that has been my journey. The pivots.
The pivot. So your father's passing threw you into being a workaholic, and you created from there. You did one job, but you also, created a whole new other world.
Yeah, because my dad, he was very pragmatic, and he always says, so his best friend said, "Your dad always believed in not mixing reason with emotion." At the same time, your dad wouldn't want to see you ruined and a mess. So I kept on thinking about, okay, yes, I'm warning dad, but what can I build out of it? And then that for me was supporting emerging designers.
And you were, I read you were the first, Fashion Indie was the first basically social media consultant for Louis Vuitton back in.
They outsourced their blogger relations to us. We're the first company they outsourced their blogger relations to. That was unheard of back in the day, because we're also one of the first fashion blogs at the time.
So cool. And then when you had to deal with the changing life situation, because of these severe allergies of your daughter, I'm really sorry.
Yes, at least she's now fine. I mean, she's been through most of them, which is
Well,
amazing.
because of the good care.
Yes.
But also there, and as you said, it was at times before Zoom and before Google Meet and so on and so forth. But you turned your situation around and established being a work from home mom and still worked on your career and built these new fields and engaged people. And this is just an incredible drive. And so you live in the US, but you are very close. You work very closely with African organizations, right? And are at the forefront, really, of bringing Africa much more into the focus and into the economic focus. Yes?
Yes. You know, Claudia, for me, I remember my father saying, don't forget where you're from, you know, don't forget, even if you don't live on the continent, that doesn't mean you can't create impact on the continent. That's what he used to say. So for me, it became a thing of, I thought I was going to move back to Uganda and work with Citibank just after graduation, because he literally passed on a couple of days after I'd received my results. College results, and he missed my graduation walk by about 3 months, 4 months or so. So that was that interesting place. And then I was like, okay, now what is the future? So I ended up, my future ended up being in America. And I've always thought about, he mentored a lot of people. So I saw that, I said working with him from when I was 15 years old. So I think that work ethic also developed as a result. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. But I'm able to pick myself up when I fall, you know? And this is also because I'm intentional and I've learned to surround myself with people who will encourage you even when the going gets tough, but also who are accountability partners and will call you out if you're not working at your optimal self, you know? So for me, those are the things that have also reminded me about, okay, the store Africans, there are lots of amazing Africans, lots of amazing, not only Africans, but also people who do business with Africa, you know? And so we need to tell those stories until the story of a lion is told, you'll glorify the story of the hunter. That is, when media would focus on the stories regarding the continent, they'd focus on what they want, what will sell, supposedly, but not a balanced approach. And so for me, I'm like, okay, yes, there might be some negative things on the continent, but there are also these amazing stories. And people on the continent want to be seen as also equal trade partners, and that you could do amazing business with them, you know, and not necessarily you doing business on the continent, but people can also export to the US. So that is for me, you know, about all of us looking at, hey, we can work, we can trade together.
Yes, it's just, you know, being willing to build these bridges, yes. Cultural bridges, economic bridges.
Look at how, I mean, our relationship formed, you know, it's that willingness to build together. And because also
absolutely,
we're human and we're trying to work towards also, you know, certain, we want to also have a good conscience and enjoy life and I like the soft life as well.
Well, who doesn't? And it's so important, right? Exactly. To be able to embrace that too.
Well, we have to work to it.
Yes. What is at the moment, professionally, your main focus?
So I formed the New York Africa Chamber of Commerce, which is...
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's launching during UNGA in September.
Fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic.
So actually, I hope you're in town during UNGA so that you should come over, you know, the date. So I'll tell you more about that. And yeah, so that's a highlight.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's huge. And then are you still also doing your consultancy, Pond Global?
I still advise companies and that kind of thing. Yeah. And so, but now that's my new baby, so I'm excited
Yeah,
that.
that's your new baby. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's really big. And they're very important, the chambers of commerce. I've been involved for many years with the German and the Swiss and Austrian chambers of commerce in New York City. So
Okay, so I'm going to come
important work.
to
Yes.
you so that you see
Yes.
now you've made your rounds. Now there's also Africa
Now there's also
calling.
who knew? Who knew?
Who knew, right? You're like, oh, you just asked a question and it happens to be that's something that you've been working on, right?
Okay, so that is next, and of course, yeah, UN week is the perfect week to kind of launch it and to bring this baby out into the world.
Yes, the sponge, yes.
Your children, do they feel more American, or do they feel American, Ugandan, South African, or how is that?
My dad is actually Ghanaian, so yeah, so that's
Oh,
interesting.
wow.
Yeah,
That's, yeah.
so my kids are typical. It's so interesting. I think they are global kids. I've been intentional about letting them know they're also American. So, like I am American too, but they embrace the culture. They're proud and they're very aware of the culture, the food. And they actually asked me if I could teach them a language. I wish I was good at languages, but I'm very poor. But I'm still finding who could teach them an African language. But at the same time, they're doing Spanish. My oldest has been doing Spanish for about 5 years now.
Great.
And the second one is doing the same. And I was surprised. My youngest two are 12 and 6, and they know all the flags of the world. They just sit here.
Very good.
Yes, I was impressed. And so my youngest yesterday was like, "Mommy, what's the Ugandan flag?" Then I said, "Oh, it's a red." And I said, "Oh, red, yellow, black." I said, "Yeah." Then she's like, "With the flamingo?" I said, "No, it's a crested crane." But I got what you're saying. The crested crane really has a shape of a flamingo, you know?
Flamingo.
Yes, yes.
No, but that's a great game and kids love it, and it's such a good entry to open the doors to different
Yes,
countries and
yes.
worlds
And
and cultures. Yes.
they've been involved also in the South African community. They go to the events and then they also love they can tell you the flag, and also the Ghanaian food. They can prepare it so they can, my oldest two can cook actually. Yes, they embrace it. They embrace that heritage. And Afrobeats is making it easier too.
Yeah, true.
They listen to it in school. And we live in Long Island, so you can imagine Long Islanders are now listening to.
It's a good vibe.
Yeah.
So you've also always focused on empowering women, and what would you say is like your biggest learning from that?
We need to continue to fix or put each other's crowns on. I believe in a proverb, if you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. So if you are intentional about bringing one or two people along with you on a journey, you'll build the world as well as you'll build yourself. I find joy from those types of things.
No, they are very rewarding.
Yes. And actually, for me lately, also, I've been a group that's also appeals to me is moms, especially moms who have been stay-at-home moms, because I've been one, and I've seen sometimes how society sometimes treats them as if they don't do anything, they're just chilling, yet they're contributing a lot to the world. And sometimes moms face challenges, imposter syndrome when they're trying, especially when they become empty nesters and they're trying to get back, or they're trying to, some of them want to become, start working again and that kind of thing. And they're treated as if they fell off. And yet they were still contributing. Some of them have been PTA moms. I mean, I've been that mom. I remember going for an interview with a bank, an exploratory interview. My sister set it up for me. And HR asked me, oh, how do you know that you've been out of corporate? How do you think you'll be able to fit in? I'm like, but I've been doing even much more than I was doing before. But I should have known better. It was a setup because she was a temp. How does a temp interview for a recruiter role?
Yeah.
That means she probably wanted that same job. And it was a woman who interviewed me. And it was really, I was saddened because automatically to think, oh, what do you bring to the table? I still, unlike some moms, I was a consultant. But at the same time, that even if I wasn't a consultant, that shouldn't be
The way.
Achilles' heel, you know? It should never be. People take time off to do what works for their family, and that should be respected. And if one wants to go back into the workforce, that should also be respected. They shouldn't pit one people versus the other, you know? Yeah.
I think, yes, you're right. And I think, I mean, it's slowly here and there getting
It's getting
better.
better. I agree.
The language around it gets much more respectful, but it's an incredibly slow process.
It is.
And yeah, that's a shame. And I agree that women still need to get a little bit more loose in celebrating each other.
Yes. And even those who are not able to have children, that should also be shouldn't be made to feel bad about it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And those are all choices. And, you know, we need to be respectful of choices. So, you are very busy, as I can attest. Because I tried to catch you so many times. And what is your way to keep in balance, to calm down? What energizes you? What are a few life hacks we can steal from you?
I'm still working on that, I'm still, you know what? I'm trying to be intentional about setting time aside, and sometimes also, I also give room for impromptu stuff, not being too structured. If you, Claudia, called me because you have my number and just say, "Hey, Boosie, if I'm available to chat." I'll chat. I won't get offended that, oh, Claudia did not make an appointment. If I'm not able to speak, I'll say, hey, can we set up time to speak? So I've learned that also helps me do certain things and not feel the pressure of doing tasks or making it too routine, too rigid. And I like going to get a massage sometimes, you know, go to a spa. And sometimes I'll even go and grab a meal by myself
Oh, nice.
and just enjoy some alone time. And I also driving, I just enjoy taking drives in the country.
Yeah, that's also a good way to get focused.
Yes. And I sometimes decide, okay, I'm shutting down. Maybe I need the nap. I'm learning not to feel guilty about that.
Oh yeah, that's a big lesson. Yeah, I'm still working on
Yeah.
that one. Yeah,
And still tell me, how do you do it? So I could learn
I
it.
actually just recently got back into yoga and meditation, and I almost had the feeling that my body was telling me finally. It was very yeah, it was a very intense experience. So, I like to cultivate that again. And also, yeah, rest and
And I'm also very prayerful, so prayer also grounds me, and yeah, it helps me.
Yeah. I mean, we have to. I think we have just have to cultivate it because the speed of the world and the uncertainty that is around, I don't think it's going away. It's here to stay. So, how do we brace ourselves for it?
That's 100%.
Well, I am very, very grateful for your wisdom and for the drive that we kind of experience through you, and that there is a next project on the horizon. Of course, I'm super curious. Where will you have offices in New York with the African American Chamber?
The New York Africa Chamber of Commerce. Yes.
New York Africa Chambers of Commerce. Okay. Very cool. Well, congratulations.
I'm honored that I was with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Boozy. And we'll stay in touch.
Absolutely. Are you in town?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, let's get together soon.
We will. Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is always so uplifting and inspiring to be in conversation with someone who is constantly growing, inventing, and reinventing. Boozy is a whirlwind. I loved what she said about women supporting women and that we should put each other's crowns on. That is always a good and important reminder. Shift Happens has been created and is hosted by me, Claudia Mahler. Editing, Andy Borison. Social media, Magda Reckendrace. I hope you felt connected and heard by listening to Shift Happens. And please leave a review and a rating wherever you listen to podcasts.